I'm going to go with yes, Scott would date this person for a number of reasons. One, I could clearly see him curling up, resting his head on that disco ball sized pube patch, and just kind of nuzzling up like, you know, like a pillow and resting, you know, on that giant pube patch.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode 152, weirdly enough, because 151 was the Romance and Games panel.
Yeah.
I was not privy to, but we're here, the three of us.
Sometimes we get a week off, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes when you're driving pets 2,000 miles across the country, you can miss a week on occasion.
Well,
yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
This still isn't a normal episode because we have guests plenty this week.
We do. And I'm going to take a long drink break at one point, bathroom break.
Yeah.
And, step out for a minute. And you guys are going to play a game that I have backed on Kickstarter and I'm really looking forward to called Banshee Billionaire.
Billionaire Banshee.
Billionaire Banshee. Blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
You just pulled a Regis Philbin. It's called Banshee Billionaire.
Banshee Billionaire. No, sorry. It's been a long day. Billionaire Banshee, which I did really actually back on Kickstarter. I feel like I have to prove myself.
Yeah. Street cred.
Street cred. Backed it. But you guys have Stephen Bailey from Billionaire Banshee as well as MFB and Sean Baptiste on, right?
Yep, that's right. So Mylan came back and our buddy Sean Baptiste literally phoned it in. And
was he on his phone?
He was on his phone. We had some major audio hurdles to jump. We pulled it off. I don't know how it's going to sound, but we had Scott calling in. I called Scott, and Sean called me. And then we had a couple connecting through Skype. It was basically held together with shoelaces and duct tape and gum. But we recorded something.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be funny.
No, it was fun.
You can hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. My cable modem like exploded 10 minutes into that interview. So
yeah.
All of a sudden I'll go from sounding crystal clear to like I'm underwater.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, I am super excited about it because the game seems really fun and I'm really excited to hear the gameplay. So
yeah.
It'll be cool.
Spoiler alert. So Billionaire Banshee is about you guess who your friends would date. And it turns out I think I would date pretty much anyone.
Set the standard low.
It's like your radioactive cyclops who is, I can only think of horrible things. But anyway, so I would date almost anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today's episode is once again brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Audible has over 150,000 titles to choose from in every genre, thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. Audible titles play on iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And you can get a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/ratedNA, and that is www.audibletrial.com/ratedNA. And you'll get a free audiobook on us, and it helps out the podcast. And I have three suggestions.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you listen to on your way up to New York?
Yeah, we drove 22 hours or 23 hours in the truck. Mm-hmm. And I didn't listen to all three in full, but I listened to three books, and I'm going to finish them kind of on the train and stuff, which is Nick Offerman's Paddle Your Own Canoe.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's wonderful and read by Nick Offerman, and just a great book. Scott, you were right.
Surprising, isn't it? Surprising.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's kind of his take on life and his story somewhat, and it's interesting to hear. And then I listened to Dad is Fat by oh my God, I just blanked on his name.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan.
Which
is hilarious. It's really good. He has an interesting family dynamic of, I think he has three kids.
He's got like a ton of kids. I think he might have like
five kids.
Yeah.
And he lives in like a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment in Brooklyn. And they're all packed in there. But the story is really humorous. And he kind of tells anecdotes from his kids. And his wife is actually his writing partner. So he talks a lot about that dynamic. And it's a really good book. And then the third one was we listened to the first half of Scarlet by Marissa Meyer.
Oh, cool.
the second book in the series, which is where
it's
I'm at.
Good.
So yeah, it's good. I'm enjoying it. You know, it's kind of that like level of YA sci-fi that's kind of easy to digest and fun to listen to. So I enjoy it. It's a good book.
Excellent.
But yeah, those were my three road suggestions. I listened to all of them and they were all really entertaining. Like Nick Offerman, I was doing on the first night, listening to him like late at night while I was driving, and he had like his voice wasn't too soothing to put me to sleep, mm-hmm. but it was like funny to like listen to. So I was kind of chuckling, and it's Scott knows how this goes, but when you drive really late, my wife falls asleep a lot in the car. I say this because we used to drive in a van and everybody would just crash except for one person in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always nice to listen to like a book or to a podcast because it feels like you're in a room with people talking and it kind of keeps you up and awake. As a music, I usually zone out to and I can't do it. So those are my recommendations.
Exact same way. Yeah, if I listen to music, it'll instantly put me to sleep unless it's something like really high energy.
Yeah, but even then, I get really zony on it. Like, I just kind of find myself, like, kind of melting into it.
Yeah.
But books and podcasts, I feel like I'm in a room talking. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm having a conversation with Nick Offerman.
Yeah, you need to stay, like, stimulated. So music kind of puts you into a trance when you're doing those long drives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So anyways, it's been a while.
Been a while.
What have you been up to, Scott?
Oh, man. I traveled, like, all this week, and it was crazy. So I have three anecdotes, multiple anecdotes, but I'm going to tell you about all of them really fast. Oh, what did I play this week? I played Machinarium, which is a point-and-click adventure made by a studio that they make those, like, Samorost games. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. But it's, like, really interesting art style, very quirky. Mm-hmm. It was out on iPad. I think I got it at Starbucks for free or something. But it's really good, and it worked great on an iPad. Okay, so the first thing I did last weekend is I went to Sunfest, which is an outdoor festival in West Palm Beach. I took my wife to go see Ellie Goulding. She's a big fan. And my wife is a fan of Ellie Goulding, not the other way around. So outdoor concert festivals.
You took your wife to see Ellie Goulding because Ellie Goulding's a big fan of your wife.
Yeah, see, I just wanted to make sure that I was clear.
Awkward relationship.
I just wanted to make sure I was clear with everybody.
And you guys are like, gotta listen to her sing her songs again.
Yeah, exactly. So, I to be nice, I bought, like, you could buy, like, sort of an extra ticket that would get you into a special section near the front of the stage, okay?
Ooh,
and so, like, this was like a complete reminder why I, A, don't go to outdoor concerts anymore,
right,
like festival concerts, and B, why I don't stand anywhere near the stage. Because I swear to God, there were, first of all, the crowd was all like, 20-year-old girls, like in the section that we were standing in.
Uh-huh. Which is a party!
Oh, yeah! That's fantastic. But this one girl, the concert starts, right? And then like people behind me, I feel people behind me, and then they keep like leaving. And then eventually I find this one girl, and she's literally like trying to like do wrestling moves, body check me, like elbow me in the side just to get past me, you know? And listen, guys, I don't throw the C word around that much, but this girl was a character. Let me tell you, I'm sorry. I don't want to use that word, but she was a character, a total character. And at one point she,
I feel
put,
like you rehearsed this. This
I didn't
great.
Know we were working bits.
And listen, at one point she like she had her phone up. She put her elbow into my arm. And then she kind of like bumped the side of my head, and like in my most appropriate concert level voice, I turned to her and I asked her, "What the fuck?" And then the look that she gave me was the look that was like, "I know exactly what I'm doing," but she said, "What?" And I said, "You know what the fuck you're doing. Cut it out." And then I did not hear from her for the rest of the night.
Dad good Scott laid it down.
Yeah, so man. I had to like yell at like a 20-year-old. So that was.
I really thought you were going to say the C word, and I got really excited. I was like, wow. Even I have never said that one on the show before.
I was pretty ready for it. I was like, my body's ready for this.
My
like,
body
is
gonna ready.
Cut out his own stuff now. First.
Yeah, I almost had to censor myself. But anyways, that the rest of the concert was fun, and oh my God, when you leave. An outdoor concert at the end of the day on the last day, like the faces of humanity,
just a parade of awesome.
Oh man, there was like a grown ass woman who was being restrained by like two paramedics, and she had like a black eye. She was like somebody's mom, you guys, and it's like, oh, what are you doing? Anyways, so the next thing I did is I went to Baltimore for work, and I went to a conference, and I probably had like the worst presentation experience that I've ever had. Apparently, the conference room that I was in, the lighting system was connected to the lighting system of the room next door where they were doing a poster session. So we would go and try to turn the lights to medium so that you could see the projector screen. And then apparently, unknown to us, the other room would go turn the lights up to 100%. So like literally during my presentation, there's like a light switch rave going on in the room. And then, like, as I'm speaking, facilities people for the convention center come in and, like, walk right in front of me while I'm talking and start fiddling with things, like, in the screen behind me. And I was like, this is fantastic. Oh, and that, like,
I would have paid to see that happen to you.
Yeah.
Dude, and then, like, as soon as I started talking, the chair of the session, like, started fiddling with a kitchen timer to help me keep time. But it was, like, super loud. So it was like, beep, 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 beep. So it's just like, total fail. And then the other thing about Baltimore was that when I was at the airport coming home, I was sitting in the terminal minding my own business, and I literally saw a woman 5 feet away from me dry heaving into the garbage can, which I've never seen before.
In the bath? In the airport?
In the airport. Not in the bathroom, but in the airport, like in the terminal right next
to me. Maybe she's just a really nervous flyer.
Oh, I guess boy. So. Dry heaving, though. You can go to the bathroom for that, you guys. You don't have to do that
in the
terminal.
Well, if there's no production, then there's nothing wrong. She can dry heave wherever.
Yeah.
She can do it in a seat.
Okay, two more quick things, because I'm running out of time.
She was
here.
Just practicing.
Running out of time? What are you seeing, a red light somewhere? You're fine.
I don't want to monopolize the time, but a lot happened to me this week, and I need to get it all out, okay?
Standing outside of his window with a hook right now.
Ash is getting ready to pull him.
It's like we're at the Apollo or something. I'm going to get dragged off stage. Okay, so the last thing I did is that I went home to see my mom for Mother's Day. And okay, so one thing I saw on the way home was I saw a motorcycle drive by me, and there was a guy and a woman on the motorcycle. And then 10 minutes later, I see the motorcycle on the side of the road.
Oh,
and
geez.
The guy and the woman are like doing something, talking, I don't know. And then I keep driving because it doesn't look like anything's going on. I keep driving, and then the motorcycle passes me again 5 minutes later, and the girl isn't there. It's just the guy on the motorcycle. And so for the rest of the drive home, I was like, what happened? What happened to the girl? Did they get into a fight? Was she angry? Were they traveling with a car? Like, is the body in the ditch somewhere? Like, did she decide to walk home? Did he hire a prostitute? I have no idea. So, okay. And then this is the worst. Okay. The humanity, you guys, let me tell you about humanity real quick. I went to Starbucks on the way home. I won't say which one.
So far, it's a surprise.
Surprise. I went to Starbucks. So I went to Starbucks, and the people in front of me were a little douchey. And I was like, that's fine. You know, I understand. People
at Starbucks?
Are weird. But, you know, it was like kind of like small town douchey, like kind of weird, right? So the two gentlemen, they order the drinks, and the cashier says it'll be blah, 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 $2.75 or whatever. And so the gentleman hand the cashier some money. And he kind of like counts through the money, and he goes, oh, you gave me blah, blah, blah. It was actually blah, blah, blah. You still owe me a quarter. And the guy looked at him, and he goes, like, he kind of like, ugh. And so he looks down. He takes a quarter out of the tip jar, drops it in the guy's hand, and goes, how's that? And then walked away.
Wow.
Took a quarter out of the tip jar.
What?
What is wrong with people?
I would pour lava down his fucking throat.
The guy, like, the cashier literally, like, stood there, and then he looked to his right, like, in the direction of nobody, because, like, he looked for somebody, but nobody was there. So he, like, looked to his right, kind of looked at me, and I shrugged, and then he, like, put the quarter back in the tip jar and, like, threw the money in and closed the register. I put a dollar in the tip jar for him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's my week, you guys.
Human beings.
Yeah. Wow. So I've seen a lot of things this week, and I'm really happy just to be home. Happy to be talking with you guys. So yeah. this is really good. So yeah. Well, so Ash, why don't you tell us what's going on with you?
Well, my family came in town for Mother's Day, which was cool. So I got to see them. Made some food, hung out, told some stories. It was pretty nice.
Like ghost stories?
No, like, I've gotten this weird habit of, like, I started, like, asking my family questions that you kind of only ask people, like, on their deathbed.
Oh, sure. No. I know where you're going
with this.
I'll
ask them, like, while they're alive, because I want to know shit. Like, you know, so I ask questions about, like, stuff about my grandparents and things that I just didn't know, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I've been having, like, better conversations now that I've gotten old and gray, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, So that was nice. And work's been pretty rough. I have this big, I don't want to talk too much about day job stuff, but I have this big exam that I prepare my students for every year, and it's this week. So I've been doing like extra sessions after school, and it's been kind of depressing, man. Like last year I had like 30 kids showing up every day for like extra help and like really slamming the material down. I had fucking 4 show up today.
What?
Wow. Out of 125 students.
Oh
I'm
my
just
God.
Like, whatever. So I stayed like an extra, you know, 30, 40 minutes for these 4 kids. Good for those 4 kids, but for everybody else, whatever.
Humanity.
But humanity, right. Right. Games, I played Child of Light, which is, I guess, all the buzz right now in the gaming world. It's pretty much for all the consoles and PC, so I'm playing it on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look gorgeous. It's not for me, though.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you're playing it.
Well, I played probably 4 hours, and then I'm just like, you know what? Like, this isn't my jam.
It's a Kinect game, right?
No, it's a JRPG.
Oh, JRPG game. Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah, it's a really pretty, like, it almost looks like it's all hand-drawn, side-scrolling RPG with turn-based combat. I really enjoy the turn-based combat, but I really feel like, and I might get some dirty
Wrath.
Looks for this one. Yeah, but there's not that much depth really to the combat system when you really break it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't kind of, in terms of turn-based combat, like some of the characters only have like 2 or 3 spells. And it's like, I don't want to play this. Like, I can cast fucking light, or I can cast like bigger light. And I'm just like, all right. Like, and everything, and this, again, I can see why some people would really love this, but everything that in the game is a rhyme. So it's basically like all, it's supposed to be like you're reading a children's story.
Oh.
And so you sit down and you listen to the narrative of the story, and everything is very sing-songy and rhymey. And I'm just like, I kind of just feel like telling them to shut up.
Is that in the dialogue wheel? Shut up.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I get it. You're fucking cute. Like, whatever. Like, it's just not for me. But in terms of the gameplay itself, in terms of like the quality of the game and the narrative itself, it is an absolutely gorgeous game. It's $15 right now. If you're into JRPGs and you're into turn-based combat, and you know, I definitely say pick it up. I mean, it is in terms of the game itself. If it wasn't me playing it, I think I would give it a really, you know, high score if we were to score things.
Mm-hmm.
But since we don't do that, I would.
But we don't. Do you want to make something up? Give it like.
Yeah,
a...
I would say out of let's do the feather pillow scale out of 1 to 74 feather pillows. I would give this about 56 feather pillows.
Oh, excellent!
Oh, that's not bad.
That's a good night's sleep.
There's a lot of feather pillows.
Feather pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I went and played more Titanfall. I took a break from Titanfall for a while. And went back and played a bit this weekend, actually. And I'm kind of getting prepared for that new DLC that's coming out, the Expedition DLC. So
they say when that's coming out? Is there a firm release
like
date for that?
It's like in the next week or two. Probably by the time 153 comes out, it'll probably be live.
Oh, cool.
So,
okay.
So that's cool. They added some new bells and whistles just in patches that we kind of talked about when Abby was here, so don't have to talk about that again. But it's still a lot of fun. I've been enjoying it.
Has that hashtag gaming thing come out yet or no?
That's not, but the friends appear green has been.
Oh, that's,
added.
Oh, that's little, cool. The little twists, yeah.
But well, we could do cool. Like, you know, when that other thing comes out, we could do like a hashtag NA kind of thing.
Yeah.
Be good. That'd be awesome.
Play with us. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
And what else? Other stuff. I'm really excited. 24 came back on TV. Last week, so actually when this is, we're recording this, the third episode's on, but it's really good. So they had, you know, the 2-hour special, and 24 came back. They're doing a 12 or 13 episode season on Fox. And the funny thing about that is my dog's named Bauer after Jack Bauer, and he never really watched 24 with us because the show went off the air sort of right around the time that he was a little small dog. So we were watching it with him in the room. And they're yelling, Bauer, 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 and he's just kind of running around the room like, what the fuck's going on? Why are all these people on the TV yelling my name? So that was kind of funny.
Oh, I love it.
Other than that, man, I've just been super, super, super busy. But looking forward to some new games coming out. Walking Dead comes out this week, so that's cool. And Matt, what about you? What are you doing?
It's been a couple weeks. I dropped a bottle cap. I drove a lot. And I, too, had an interesting story like you had, Scott, but I had it the other day where I was at a bar and we were getting lunch or dinner, There was and like a beer. And the people in front of me ordered like $28 in drinks and then left a dollar tip. Like I saw it on the on the receipt. And I was like, that's so crappy. Like from a former bartender, it just feels like it's hard for me to watch that because I know you don't make tons of money like hourly generally as a bartender.
Who does that?
So I left a like extra $4, I think, and I just said, sorry, the last person didn't tip you what they should have, and wrote that like on the receipt and then gave them $10.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, what a jerk, you know? Like, it's like my point of view is always like, it's like $3 to you, and in the long run, that's not that much. But $3 adds up when you're a bartender or a server. Like, it it adds up quickly. So
I was reminded of I was reminded of band karma that we tried to build.
Yeah. We would always, you know, get a little extra if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's like terrible or something, but rarely is it actually terrible and the server's fault. Anyways, let me tell you a story about cable, guys. I didn't have it for a week, 2 weeks, week and a half, because I ordered Fios, which I was really excited about because it's very fast and very good service. And they could not get to my backyard in my new apartment.
No.
So they could not install it. And they were like, we're really sorry. You have to like coordinate us getting into your backyard. And then I talked to my landlord and he was like, well, we don't really have access. Like, I don't know how we could do it. And they don't really want cords hanging off the building. Not that I care about that as much, but I was like, okay. So he's like, but Time Warner's pre-installed in the room, in the apartment. And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Time Warner's pre-installed. So then we had the Time Warner guy come out, and we have had that for a week. And I know we tend to only talk about things that we really like, but Time Warner is the devil, and I'm pretty sure that's how it works, that the devil made Time Warner. And then the other, like, bigger devil, Comcast, is about to buy the devil Time Warner, and then it's going to get, like, worse. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of devils running around. It really seems pretty terrible. I don't know how they've lasted this long as a company, but I'm like now scheming to figure out how I can get Fios installed. Like basically I was like, fine, we'll get Time Warner just because we needed internet. Like we were going crazy.
Yeah.
We were realizing that we were falling asleep at like 9:30 and 9 o'clock at night
because there was
like
to do.
Nothing to do. We would just sit in a dead silent apartment with nothing on anywhere. And then we'd be like, I guess we just go to bed. I don't know.
It's over.
Yeah, I remember when the hurricanes hit Orlando and we didn't have power. We would go to bed at like 7:45. Yeah. It was fucking like 85 degrees inside, and you're just like, well, I guess I'll just sweat and lay here. And
you revert to being like a farmer, like immediately. Yeah, you're like, oh, well.
To wake up in the morning, yeah.
I guess we're all hunter-gatherers again. We don't have Google.
That's how Lost happened.
Yeah, so that happened. But in the meantime, while that was happening, I have my iPad has 4G on it, so I was playing tons of Hearthstone, probably a stupid amount of Hearthstone at this point. I have like a level 24 paladin and a level 18 priest and a level like 20 hunter.
Wow!
And I think I've ranked up to 19th or something. The ranking. I've learned something though.
Okay.
When you get above, so like you start at rank 25, right? And then every five, once you get out of that first level, I think it's every five you can't lose stars when you're doing it. So like if you get to level 24, then you'll never be 25 again. Like you'll, even if you lost every round from then on. Mm. But if you get to level 19, you can back down to 20, but no lower than 20.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is nice, and it works pretty well. But when you get up above 20, dudes be buying cards at that point.
It's
pretty apparent pretty quick they're whipping out stuff that you're like, you haven't even seen before, and it's got the big legendary dragon symbols on it, stuff which I think means they made it, right? Like they went into that like card alchemy thing that you can do. And so it gets real difficult real fast in the ranked playing, but I'm still really enjoying it. It's fun. I still have not spent a single dollar on the game.
Cool.
And I still
for
like
you.
It yeah, you don't really need to. I mean, I guess you need to if you want to like rank up to first probably, but if you just want to play and enjoy it, it is really easy to play and enjoy without at all spending any money. And then the other thing I was going to tell, I already talked about Audible books that we listen to, but the other thing I was going to talk about is on a whim, we have a nervous cat. And last time we drove from New York to Florida with him, he basically vomited for 22 hours straight in the car.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Anytime the car, like, he was okay if the car was constant speed. Like, if we were going, like, 65 miles an hour, it was fine. But we hit, like, D.C. traffic at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that means just basically, like, dead stop and start and go and start and stop. And he was just like a vomit machine the entire time, just like a nervous wreck and just sick the entire time. It was terrible.
It's a bummer.
It was honestly like the worst drive I've ever done in my life. And so this time we were like, oh, we're going to get a Thunder shirt, if you've never heard of these things. I was like, well, let's try it. Why not? It freaking worked. Like magic. Like,
really?
It was insane. He was 100% calm the entire time.
Wow.
He literally, we put it on him. We put it on him at the house when we got it. It's like a $30 thing, and it basically, it's like this heavier kind of jackety type thing you put on him, and then it's got this Velcro piece that you can pull it like nice and tight kind of around them, so it kind of is like hugging their body essentially. And we put it on him in the house, and like we read the directions, and it was like he's going to do something called like a walk and flop or something, which pretty much meant he like stood up and then just fell over on his side like comically. And we were like, okay, that's weird, but sure. And then we put him in the car, and he literally just he like went under the seat, found a spot, curled up, and went to sleep. Every once in a while, he'd get up, and he'd like climb into Melissa's lap, and then he would just fall asleep in her lap and just ride the whole way. We were stop and go sometimes, and no problems. Then we would show up at the hotel. We would take the shirt off once we got inside, and he'd come on out, and he'd drink some water and eat some like, we couldn't beg him to drink water and eat food the last trip, and he'd eat food, drink a little water, and then just curl up and go to sleep somewhere in the hotel room. Like, no problems. It was wow. Insane. It was night and day with the Thunder shirt versus not having it. So the only thing I would say is that he's the kind of cat that likes being, like, hugged. Like, he likes it when you, like, kind of hold him really close.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if your cat or your dog is like that naturally and they're nervous in the car or nervous around other stuff, like, I would try it. It was kind of mind-blowing how well – Melissa and I both were like – this is the first product I think I might actually review on Amazon because it worked so ridiculously well. Like, it was such a good product that I'm like sort of want to get in there and just be like, hey, I know this seems ridiculous, but it really works, you know?
I think you just did a review on the podcast.
Yeah. The first Thunder shirts. They're nerd appropriate.
Exactly. There you go. So we cover all kinds of things, not just games.
We should all
guys.
Wear them while we podcast.
I know.
Oh man, I'd feel
very
so much better.
Soothed, yeah.
I want to feel safe.
So with that, I think that's everything, guys.
I think cool. So.
You want to get to this game?
Yeah, let's do it. So let's play some Billionaire Banshee with Stephen Bailey, Mylan Fitzwater Barrows, Sean Baptiste, Scott, and myself.
Banshee, sorry. Comma Billionaire.
Sorry for the audio problem.
Hey guys, we're recording an episode right now.
No way!
This is how
Yay.
We're starting it. So this is we haven't ever done anything like this before in 151 episodes. So this is going to be a first. But we have a whole lot of guests, and we're going to play around a Billionaire Banshee. But before we get started, I want everyone here to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about yourself, starting with Mylan, because you are the lady in the room.
Oh yeah, you always make me start go first.
I know. Well, ladies first. It's chivalry.
So I'm Mylan Fitzwater Barrows. I've been on the show before. I was actually on episode 151, so I'm really proud to be back in two consecutive episodes.
Yeah, we have to pay you for this.
Right, pizza coupons, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, you almost have your punch card full.
I know,
almost.
Yeah, what do you get when you get a punch card?
A pizza.
Your baby comes out.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's not do that.
Okay.
Let's give it a little bit more time. And I'm expecting a baby. I guess that's my bio now, right?
Yeah.
It's like I'm 8 months pregnant. I wrote a romance game called Strange Loves Vampire Boyfriends and produced a sequel, Strange Loves Hex Boyfriends. And I also write and produce for TV and prose. So that is me.
Cool. Who would you like to go next on the list?
Who would I like to go
next?
Yeah,
you get to pick who goes next. This is how we do this.
Sean.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Hey, guys. I'm Sean Baptiste from Firehose Games. What do I do? No, I work on a couple of games. We've done games like Go Home Dinosaurs and stuff, and I'm working on a game right now called Let's Quip, which is a competitive debating game.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's on beta on Facebook right now, and then we're working on the mobile versions and stressing ourselves out and pulling our hair out over that. But it's going to be awesome, and we're getting there.
Cool. Very cool. You get to choose who goes next.
Let's see. Ash.
Oh, man. This is weird. I've never had to do this for myself.
I didn't expect it.
This is totally fucking weird. Hi, I'm Ash. I've been on this podcast for 151 episodes. I secretly teach high school history when I'm not doing podcasts.
Oh my God.
I enjoy all sorts of food, including burritos. Scott, what about you?
Okay. Well, I'm also on this podcast.
No way.
And when you say something stupid, I make sure nobody else hears it.
That's true. He deletes all my dumb.
But sometimes you get to hear it at the end if you stick around.
That's
it's like
true.
We're like a Marvel movie, the way that this works.
Yes, a really shitty Marvel movie.
Yeah, some guy with an eye patch shows up, but it's not Sam Jackson. It's just some guy with an eye patch.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, and then
that's it.
Well, my daytime job is I'm a research scientist.
That's you're true. Not a robot doctor. I'm
not a robot doctor. I'm a human robot interaction researcher.
Right, a robot doctor.
Sure, yeah.
Robot
doctor. Robot doctor. Correct.
Robot Freud.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I understand. And robot doctor.
Excellent. Well, that leaves the man of the hour, Steven. So why are you here? What are you doing here?
Stephen Bailey, sometimes I go as Razzlo, and the reason that I'll go by that name a lot of times is because there's this guy named Stephen Bailey who gets credit for a lot of things that I do, and it's kind of annoying. He was an actor in Phantasmagoria.
Oh, wow.
If anyone remembers that PC game.
I do remember Phantasmagoria.
So I guess the internet thinks that, you know, he did Phantasmagoria, hit Hard Times, and then started doing video game QA, which, I mean, I could see that trajectory, but that's not reality. So that's that. And then, so I'm here because I'm promoting a game called Billionaire Banshee, which we'll kind of go over more later. It's very ridiculous game, kind of finding out messed up preferences and who your friends would actually date that you're kind of shocked by. And that's up on Kickstarter right now. And then my day job is looking for jobs.
Yeah.
So I'm professional at looking at jobs.
Oh man.
Not getting them, but I'm professional at looking at them.
You and I need to have like a sidebar conversation.
Yeah. It's a tough universe.
I'm job window shopping right now.
Well, can you go ahead since you're in the hot seat right now, can you tell us a little bit about sort of your origin as a game maker and kind of, I guess, in a way, transition into how you came up with the idea for Billionaire Banshee?
Sure. So, you know, I've been in not necessarily, board or card or tabletop games, but I've been in the video game industry for over 7.5 years. I actually got into it because I was complaining on my webcomic that I had going at the time that I couldn't get a job in video games.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
And Sean Baptiste happened to read the comic and was like, dude, you should apply at where I work, Harmonix. They'd probably give you a job. And I applied. And so, yeah, Sean's the reason that I, you know, got a games job pretty much.
Oh,
he's
Sean.
Very godfather. I love
yes. him. Yeah, turns out we had gone to college together and had the same friends.
Yes.
Oh, so strange.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, Sean and I kind of like, even when we don't work in the same company, end up, you know, interacting all the time because he's really awesome. As you guys know.
Shucks.
And then, so yeah, outside of that, you know, I always wanted to do game design, but whenever I would bring up, you know, my ideas, you know, about, you know, unicorns and things like that, no one wanted to make those games at Harmonix. And so I had to do it on my own. And so this is my first, you know, indie game.
Awesome. Awesome.
And when we play it, you'll probably see kind of why maybe they wouldn't want to make a game like that.
I'm really excited. By the way, when you guys had your panel, the panel both of you guys were on, I was the guy who laughed hysterically at the, I think you said like gaping vagina joke. That was me. That was me that laughed. So I,
the funny part about that is I feel like the audience was really into most of what I had to say on that panel.
Yeah.
Except for that one joke that like nobody laughed at. And it
except
was
for me.
Quiet, and you, yeah, you laughed really
hard. You really got ash with that one. That was great.
Everyone looked at me like I was, something was wrong with me. But
I was sitting next to you, and I think I turned around to look at Matt, who was sitting four rows back,
yeah,
who was just shaking his head at you.
In disapproval. Yeah, yeah. Which is normally what happens on this show every single time we record, but
I was doing the same thing. I was shaking my head.
Everyone was looking down at me disapproving. Anyway, so there'll be plenty of that tonight. So tell us a little bit about the idea behind Billionaire Banshee, and I guess to our listeners, kind of describe what the game is.
Sure. So the origin of it is pretty simple. You know, I especially, you know, when you're younger in like high school or just, you know, around college age or stuff, you tend to drive around like aimlessly or to like really far off distances, like for concerts or whatever with your friends. And whenever we would do that, I would just end up asking really super personal or really insane questions to my friends to kind of catch them off guard while they're kind of sitting in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
So just like, you know, the basic things of like, hey, you know, what if you, and you know, they were single, because, you know, I hang out with a lot of like social rejects, including myself. And so more often than not, they were single. So a lot of times it was, you know, well, what if I hooked you up with a girl that, you know, was radioactive, would that be okay? You know, like just like really random things and just try to see. And it was always surprising to me kind of like what their line was for what was acceptable and wasn't acceptable. There was never like one session where like it made any amount of sense to anyone else in the car. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So you kind of realize like, you know, everyone's like thought processes are like so different from each other, but you don't usually find that stuff out until you like dig beyond like, do you like South Park? You know? So the game is basically kind of like distilling that into like a card game. And it's really simple to play. You have two draw piles. One pile is a perk pile, and one pile is a quirk pile. Okay. And those each have like traits, either positive, negative, or weird, relating to like this person that would be a potential soulmate for you. So everyone playing the game kind of pretends that for the purposes of the game that they're single and kind of looking for a soulmate. And when it's your turn, these cards are going to decide what this person you meet is like. And then there's these voting cards, and everyone kind of votes on, you know, if they think that person would kind of date that combination in front of them.
Awesome, awesome.
Just kind of see how well you know your friends.
Cool. So you got a chance to you had it on the PAX floor as part of the Indie Mega Booth this year, right?
I didn't know. I got rejected for the Indie
Mega
Booth.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
Because I think I had like a really awful website at the time because I was too busy working on the actual card game.
Oh, okay.
So I just like kind of hijacked a table.
Oh, nice.
And just was like kind of being annoying, handing out flyers and getting people to sit down and play with me.
Oh, cool.
So, cool. Yeah, I did it really cheap.
That's the best way to do it. Let's actually go ahead and get the show on the road so we can so we can play. So for our listeners, Stephen, why don't you go ahead and describe kind of what the mechanic of the game is going to be like, and then
sure.
We'll go ahead and we'll play a couple rounds and see what happens.
Yeah. Love so it. Everyone would be dealt two voting cards. We will just have to trust people tonight. The voting cards are because I don't trust people. I expect people to like change their answers, or when they heard the entire like group of people say no one would ever go for this,
you know
they would be like, oh yeah, no, you're right, I totally said deny. So that's the purpose of them. We'll have to be trusting today, but yeah, okay. So basically everyone gets a date card and a deny card.
Okay.
So those are the voting cards that you use. And then the only other cards involved is there's just a pile of perk cards, and there's a pile of quirk cards.
Okay.
And we can even just start playing right now if everyone's ready.
Cool. So I guess the first person that we be drawing for would be Mylan.
Okay. So the perk is they have a giant robot.
Okay.
And so each card has kind of like an overall title as to what the trait is.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also like bullet points kind of to try to answer some of the questions people would have to try to, you know, kind of get down to what their answer would be for it.
Uh-huh.
So the specifics about they have a giant robot is it stays in an underground bunker.
Okay.
They know how to control it.
Okay.
It's powered by applesauce.
Oh.
And the soul of their parent lives inside.
Oh, God.
So that's the perk. You guys might have some idea of how Malin would feel about that, but don't give it away.
Okay.
And the quirk is they are a compulsive liar.
Okay.
So they lie about big and small things. You can't tell when they're lying, so they're good at it. They feel bad about it, but can't stop. And in terms of percentage, it's about 40% of the time.
Okay. 40%.
So it's a compulsive liar that owns a giant robot.
Hmm.
So I don't know who's going to go first to reveal how they're voting, or if you guys need more time to think about it. But we're trying to see what we think Malin would do if she met this person.
Sean would be first.
All right. I'm going to say deny.
Deny.
Because as cool as a robot would go, it is a robot in-law. and also there's... Which is just tough. It's just tough. And then I think I would also say just the lying is, I mean, nobody could really put up with that. Who would really put up with that?
That's true.
And you know the robot's going to take the liar's side, and that you just don't need that in your life.
That's true. I think, Scott, you'd be next.
Okay, I'm going to say deny as well. You know, mostly because of the lying, because if you know, are you lying about the giant robot? It lives in a bunker, right? So it's like, are you lying about the giant robot? Do you actually have a tiny robot? What else might you be lying about the size of? Like, you know, there's just a lot of complications there.
There are
and
a lot
I just I don't think it would fly, if you know what I mean.
I do. I'm gonna vote that yes, Mylan would date the robot owning mother-in-law sold lying person because I just think that she would want that power. She'd want the power of dating someone with a gigantic robot.
Okay, fair. I'm gonna say deny. I think that the you know, compulsive lying thing would get old pretty quick. But I do think it was a tough choice because the giant robot thing is so cool.
It is cool. So now we find out the truth.
Okay, so I would actually date. And I would date that person, and I think it would probably be a mistake. But I think that by the time I realized it was a mistake, it would be way too late. You know, the fact that they feel bad about the fact that they lie all the time, and it's only 40% of the time. You know,
that's true.
I could never walk away from the possibility of a giant robot.
That's true. So in theory, I would probably get a point for that because I said you would date that strange concoction. Cool.
Wow.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. So whose turn is it now?
It would be Sean's turn next.
All right. Bring it to me.
And one thing about the compulsive liar, I've had people say yes to that because they don't care what their significant other says, which is pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. But
yeah,
they're just like, whatever. I'm like, okay. I can't believe you're saying that with your wife there, but okay. So the perk, Sean, is, and this is a good matchup, I think, they are the funniest person alive.
Whoa.
Okay. They appeal to everyone. They can tell clean or dirty jokes. They're also capable of being serious. So, you know, not nonstop laughs. And this is the only card that has this qualifier, so it makes you put all the other cards into question. But it calls out that they've never had sex with a llama.
Whoa.
So
wow.
You don't have to worry about that. And the quirk is
although this is funny, these two came together. The quirk is their laugh is the most annoying sound you've ever heard.
Wait, they
find
laugh?
A lot of things funny. Their laugh. So picture Fran Drescher or whatever your equivalent would be. They find a lot of things funny. It's not a quiet laugh. They don't think it's annoying, so they're not self-conscious at all. And they like your laugh. So.
Oh, good. That's nice.
So it doesn't go both ways. They're like, hey, my laugh's fine. Your laugh's great. We're all doing well. All right. So funniest person alive with the most awful sounding laugh possible.
So, Mylin, you'd be first.
Can I ask questions?
Yeah, I mean, like, if it wasn't called out in the bullet point, it would kind of have to be decided by like the group, like kind of like what the true answer would be there. It's so kind of like the rule.
Okay, so does this person? Do you think this person laughs at their own jokes? Because I feel like
it
that's
says
important.
That they find things funny. It says they find a lot of things funny. So I imagine that if they find a lot of things funny and they're the funniest person alive, that if they're finding like really simple shit funny, then their master, you know, crafted a joke has to make them laugh.
Also, if they really are the funniest person in the world, they can't laugh at all their jokes.
Because it would ruin their set.
It would ruin their set. It would be the worst set ever. Nobody would go for that.
Okay. I think deny. And I think because, yeah, it's great, funniest person in the world. It's sort of like my grandma always said, don't date somebody who's better looking than you, because they always get all the attention. You can't hardly get a waitress to get you a drink or anything. So
yeah.
I think that Sean would like to be on a little more equal footing with his partner.
Mm. Scott?
I'm going to say date. And I can't figure out exactly who this person might be as a real world analog, but I just keep thinking it's Seth Rogen. And I think that would be pretty funny, because he laughs at everything, and he's got a pretty distinctive laugh. So I'm gonna go with Dave, because I think that would be fun for Sean. I think that would be a barrel of laughs, if you will.
I'm gonna say deny because I think that level of intensity pretty much all the time would be a bit much, and I think the fact that this person has never had sex with a llama, that is definitely taking them down a notch. I mean, really, I mean, that's a qualifier for a serious relationship is llama sex. So I don't think
especially
Sean would
accept.
Yeah.
Fair.
Okay.
Oh, so me, I got to reveal it?
No, I got to still go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I say, I'm going to say date. On this one, I know that it was brought up the competitiveness of, you know, how funny this person is. And I know that, you know, Sean does, you know, comedy, here and there and is a very funny individual, but I think he would appreciate the challenge of having someone else around who is really funny and kind of like helping him up his game. And then if the most annoying thing that he has to deal with is their laugh, he might just save some of his jokes for coworkers and other people to try to minimize that issue. So I'll say date.
Nice. All right. So next up is.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I reveal.
Yeah.
So yep. Where we are. Okay, I would absolutely date that person.
Oh, wow.
All right. No problem being the Salieri to their Mozart. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The horrible laugh, I like horrible laughs. I think they're incredible. I love being able to pick them out of a crowd. The llama thing, all right, you know, I mean, there's always time, right?
There's always time.
They just haven't yet. They haven't met the right one. but I would absolutely, yeah, like that's totally fine. It would up my game, and or I would just steal all their jokes.
There you go.
And then just write them on Twitter and take credit for them. In which case, you know, I get to live it. But yeah, I'm fine being Salieri.
All right.
So Scott is up next.
Okay, Scott. The perk is, and I had to have this one. This is one of the only cards that I made sure was in the rotation for tonight. Because of some conversations we had at the panel and after, they shit your favorite flavor ice cream.
Yay!
Yay!
It's as healthy as regular ice cream. It tastes the same, and they're okay with you eating it if that's a thing that you'd like to do. And the quirk is this is a sexy quirk here. They have a disco ball sized amount of pubic hair. I don't know if this is going to get in the way of the ice cream coming out, but they have a disco ball size of my pubic hair. They won't shave. It doesn't smell. And when they're clothed, you can't tell. So that is the combination. They shit your favorite flavor ice cream, and they have a disco ball size amount of pubic hair.
Wow.
Got it. I will record my answer.
Okay.
All right.
I've locked in my answer.
All right. Mylan, you're up.
Wow, I mean, yeah, we've talked a lot about this perk card before.
Yes.
There's a lot going on below the belt here.
Yeah. That's true.
And I don't really feel like this person has a lot else going for them. I mean, listen, I get the shit your favorite flavor ice cream. I get that. I think that is a fantastic perk. But I feel like Scott needs a little more intellectual fulfillment than that. So I'm going to go with deny.
Deny. All right. Sean?
Deny. Who wants a person who's going to ruin your favorite ice cream? Like, you're not the only thing you're going to be. You like, let's say your favorite thing is Rocky Road.
Yeah.
You're only going to be thinking of shit all of the time when you're eating Rocky Road. You're probably not going to eat ice cream out of their butt.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just
no, there's no shit though, right?
Right.
What's that?
There's no shit. There's never been shit.
It is. It just tastes like the ice cream and has the same texture in all ways. Still shit. It's still shit, and that's a huge problem. And I think actually this is one of those cases where the perk is way worse than the quirk.
Yeah, that's true.
Positive is a much worse negative, because you're not going to go into your local bodega, look at the Ben and Jerry's section, and go, yeah, I'm okay with Mudslide or with Rocky Road today. No, Mudslide. It should definitely be Mudslide. I'm not okay with that. You're not going to be like, well, I'll buy some. No, it's ruined. This is ruined for thanks, date.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely today.
I'm going to go with yes, Scott would date this person for a number of reasons. One, I could clearly see him curling up, resting his head on that disco ball sized pube patch and just kind of nuzzling up like, you know, like a pillow and resting, you know, on that giant pube patch. And I can see him having like a long day at the office and like resting on the pube patch and then just slowly, you know, dipping his head down to get a nice little snack. A nice little, you know, maybe some Rocky Road or some Neapolitan ass cream.
Can I just say how happy I am to be invited to be a guest on the Rated Not At All Appropriate podcast?
there's going to be a lot of unsubscribes for this one, but who cares?
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Steve.
Sure. So I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna say that he's gonna date this person. I think he's willing to, you know, weed through the jungle when he has to get the job done. And in terms of the ice cream thing, one thing I find really interesting about that particular perk is people get super offended by it, as though the fact that you could eat it means that you had to. I guarantee you that whatever ice cream coming out of someone's butt is going to be a better situation than what's happening with literally every other person on the planet.
So I still say that's a perk no matter what. You can avoid it, you know, if your bathroom after the fact smells like, you know, mint chocolate chip, that's a better outcome than most. So I say date.
All right. And the answer is? All right.
Well, my answer is going to be deny.
Oh.
This is a tough one. Let me tell you why. Yep. This is tough, but I think that it would be difficult to date somebody who thinks that their shit don't stink. And then problem number two is that everybody poops, like the book tells you. So as appealing as the ice cream would be, I don't know if I could get down with that. And as far as the puke thing goes, you know, maybe I'm not opposed to that in concept, you know, like that's cool if you want to be all natural, but I don't know exactly how you're going to contain that, like, within your garments in a public setting.
It's hammer pants all the time, man. Hammer pants all the time.
Right, exactly. So I think just the lack of versatility there, I think, would really work to the detriment of this particular person. So I'm going to have to say deny, even though I would really enjoy some mint chocolate chip ice cream.
This is perfect use of your PhD, by the way.
Yeah, you think so?
Cool. What's up next?
Professional.
Okay, so whose turn is it now?
It's mine, Ash.
Okay. All right. So the perk is they're the cutest thing alive.
Oh, man.
They look amazingly cute. They move in a cute way. They speak in a cute way. And you're going to end up saying, aw, a lot. And the quirk is...
Oh, boy.
They must remain a secret to everyone you know. They won't meet people. You can't tell people about them. You can't be out in public with them. And you can't take any photos together. So apparently they're too cute for the rest of the world.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's like your girlfriend from Canada. You probably don't know her.
The summer.
She's a model.
Oh, she was. You don't know her, though. You probably never heard of her. It's cool, though.
All right. So, Violet, you're up.
Sure. Wow. All right. All right, I'm going to say deny, because I think that this perk would actually just annoy the crap out of Ash. I think it would be like dating Pokemon or something, and he would just like want to like shake it.
Shake it out.
Yep.
Sean?
I think I'm going to say deny, because... Just you don't need all of us busting your balls about your fake girlfriend all the time. Nobody needs that. That's too much. Deny. Definitely deny.
Ooh, Scott.
I'm gonna say date, because I think if Ash was given the opportunity to just live in the mountains and would never have to take this person out, and they could just stay at home and it was the cutest person ever, I think that might work. I have a pretty good idea of who this person might be in my brain. So I think based on this internal monologue criteria, I think it'll work. I think it'll work. So I'm gonna say date.
Wow.
Okay. I'm also going to say date. I think that, you know, kind of how into the cute thing you would be would counteract the fact that you couldn't tell people about it. And you'd kind of like having that amount of mystery in your life where people are always wondering what's going on with your love life and you somehow seem not concerned about it at all.
Well, I would totally date the invisible cute girlfriend. I do. I think the mystery of it would be fun. It'd be fun trying to keep this like top secret. And I kind of agree with what Scott said. The idea of becoming like this weird recluse with like a this super adorable like non person and everyone wondering about it would be pretty exciting and fascinating. So yes, I would date that combination. Sure.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. Whose turn?
Well, do you want to go? You could do one for yourself.
Sure. Sure. I can go.
All right. Cool.
All right, so the perk is they can transform into an all-terrain vehicle. You can ride them. They can travel long distances. They use food for fuel. And they can control when they transform.
Whoa.
So, and the quirk is they have genitals of the opposite sex.
Say one more time.
They don't also have genitals of their gender. Okay. They won't get surgery. You must do all sex positions. And just so you know, the junk is as attractive as can be, considering. So that is, they can transform into an all-terrain vehicle, and in my case, they have a stick shift. That's the combination.
But it's a very attractive stick shift.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a beautiful knob.
Mylan, you're up.
I have to say, Date, I mean, I think that the convenience of the ATV would well overshadow anything else. Plus, I mean, it sounds like this person is really comfortable with who she is, and that's okay. So it's no big deal. Like, you know, she's awesome and she could turn into an ATV and she's badass. So I definitely say Date.
Okay.
Sean.
Oh, let's see. I'm going to have to say Deny. I think it's not what you're going for. This is going to be more like your best friend who you want to go hang out with, like cruise the beach with, and like, I think there's a point where you're going to be like, you know what? I like all terrain vehicles, but you know what? I don't spend a whole lot of my time out on the dunes, to drive over dunes to all that genital action.
That's true. Scott?
Man, with the rising cost of gas these days, are you kidding me? That's going to be Date all the way. It's going to be so economical. Your date can pick you up.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so efficient. How it's so simple. It's got to be Date. It's got to be Date.
I'm going to go for Deny. Just because the person can transform into a vehicle does not mean that they're going to want you to ride on them all the time. So it's sort of like, even though, you know, my wife has a number of amazing qualities, she doesn't allow me to partake in them on a constant basis.
All of the sex positions, all of them.
Every last one.
All of the time. I don't think that the genitals of the opposite sex would really bother you all that much, but I think the transformation perk, I don't think is enough to reel you in.
Okay.
Even if she does reverse cow truck?
Oh, boy. Now things are getting interesting.
All right. So first I'll just say that, you know, I'm the type of guy that on the regular wears Transformers t-shirts. So I'll lead with that. And then I'll say that I actually answered Date. I said Date. if this was, you know, maybe like 10 years ago or something, I probably would have said Deny. But I've spent too much time on the internet, and I've gotten used to this idea at this point. You know, and the thing that attracts me to a lady is, you know, her face and other things, and you know, kind of the last thing I'm looking at is downstairs. So I think I could get over it. I'm gonna say Date.
All right.
Okay.
Excellent.
Love that.
Cool. Well, you guys want to do one more quick lightning round, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Sure.
Cool. We'll do it one more time. So we'll start with Mylan, and Mylan will we'll start with her and see where we go.
Okay. Sure. So the perk is that, let's see, the perk is they have every video game. So they have all the systems to play them. They'll let you play any game. They get every new system and somehow can still afford to pay the bills. And the quirk is they steal your tears while you sleep. They use an eyedropper to gather them. They drink the tears 8 days later. You don't wake up during the act, but you do wake up with dry eyes. So have every video game, but steal your tears while you sleep.
This is my favorite one, by the way. This is my favorite one I run into. I love this one. This is the one that made me fall in love with this game.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so who's answering?
I think Sean is first.
I'm going to say date. I mean, you just wake up with dry eyes. I wake up with that anyways.
That's true.
I would say, go date. Yeah, I date them. They seem fun.
Scott.
A little weird, but fun.
I'm going to date as well. I mean, this is a very smart individual. Basically, they allow her to play all the games that she wants so that her eyes water more, and then they steal the tears at night, and both people get something out of the relationship. So date.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say date as well, because if she's sleeping, she'll never even really notice that the tears are being stolen. So it's kind of like a little kid tooth fairy scenario. Like, you never actually catch your parents in the act of replacing your... sorry, spoiler. So I'm going to say go ahead and date. Steven?
Oh, that makes sense.
So I am going to say a date. I actually, I think the video game thing, I think regardless of your kind of engagement with that, like when you want to partake of video games, kind of having, that amount of variety is as long as it's not paralyzing, pretty cool. And then I actually think that the quirk is a perk in your case. Malin, writes about vampires, which are kind of creepy. So I think, having, someone with a little bit of an edge and a little bit of a creep factor, would be a benefit to her. So I'd say
I love that. I love that so much. Okay. So do you want to know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Deny.
Ooh.
Oh,
what?
Yes.
You were all wrong.
What?
Well, here's why. Here's
you
why.
Prude.
No, prude not being... No. Because I already have all the game systems and most of the video games. I'm that person already. So
They don't add
enough. And so they don't bring enough to the table, and the stealing the tears, like, you're right. It's actually, now that you make that argument about how it's kind of like sexy creepy, I could see where that could like maybe be a thing, but yeah, it's just, kind of leaves me cold.
All right.
Well, Sean is up. We didn't know you as well as we thought we did.
No.
That's right.
So disappointed.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, so that's kind of how it plays out. that's the game.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter, and then and then we'll kind of wrap things up and let you get out of here. So where can people find it, and what are some of the perks of the Kickstarter, and basically just a quick rundown.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter is going right now. In a matter of a few hours, there'll be 7 days left, so approaching its final week. We're most of the way there, very close to hitting 18K right now, and I need 20K to be able to like print and ship out all the different boxes for the game. So really close to hitting it. So if it's something that sounds fun to you, please check it out. In terms of rewards, the tier to get the game is 25, so it's pretty reasonable. And then there's some kind of stranger rewards, like as a joke, I made a love pillowcase with the character from the game who is 8-bit. And then I tried to have him like really sell the fact that this is like a legitimate, like, sexy item. One side has him with his butt up in the air, and the front side has him like blushing and kind of, embarrassed by what's about to happen. So that's just some examples. I can, I'll also, one of them is, I'll make you a painting of, any of like the graphics from the different cards or things.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to kind of see what you'd look like, in 8 or 16-bit, I'll do like a pixel portrait of you. So those are just, there's more stuff, but that's like kind of a quick overview of some of the cooler,
Awesome. So we'll definitely put the URL for the Kickstarter campaign in the notes and everything for everybody. But do you have the URL off the top of your head?
I have it right here. One second.
Cool. Look.
So
click on it. So yeah, so it's just kickstarter.com/projects and then a really awesome number 185-796-8438 and then /billionaire-banshee-party-entertainment-system.
Wow. So I think if you don't click on the show notes, just Google Billionaire Banshee Kickstarter.
Yeah, that'll get you there.
It's a lot easier than that strange.
I think you just reset the timer inside of the Lost Bunker or something.
I know.
That was crazy.
Being sucked into a vortex. Awesome. Where can people find you on the social media, Steven?
Yeah, sure. So the website for my game company, which doesn't have that much going on it yet right now, outside of just Billionaire Banshee, is gameyayfun.com. And then on Twitter, it's just @Razlo, R-A-Z-L-O.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It was a ton of fun. We need to have you back on in the future and we need to play some more stuff.
And nice talking to Malin and Sean, as always.
Awesome.
Yay.
Later, guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, big thanks to everyone. That was quite a jam-packed little session there, but it was fun. It's interesting to see how deranged everyone is and what low standards we all have.
We learned a lot about each other.
Yeah, we did learn a lot about each other. It is really interesting because I think that game, sitting up late at night with your friends, would be absolutely just fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't wait to get my hands on it. I can't wait to see what extra cards he adds And his Kickstarter is coming to a close very soon, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, so he's as of this recording, he's got 4 days to go, but when this airs, he'll probably have about a day, maybe two to go. And while we're talking right now, he is literally only $512 shy of his goal,
man,
which is a huge undertaking because his goal was $20,000. And while that sounds high, I know from all the panels we go to, and from talking to a bunch of people, that a lot of it goes into production, a lot of it goes into the rewards that they give out. And since this is a tabletop game, these things do tend to cost a little bit more than you would think naturally. You know, it's not a digital product. Mm. So please go out to his Kickstarter. The link is really long. So he said it, I think you said, Ash, right, at some point.
Yeah, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Well, it's easier just to go notes. To, like, you could go to Kickstarter and just search Billionaire Banshee.
Yeah, he's the only Billionaire Banshee project.
I promise, it's the only one.
Go back him. He's got some really awesome rewards. The one I backed, I'm going to try and get him to do one of all of us, but the reward is a pixel portrait of us. So, yeah, go find his stuff and back it because it is an awesome, awesome game. It's fun. Fun game.
It is fun.
Fun game, guys.
Fun. Well, cool. Geez, it's been so long since we've done this. How do we end it? Oh, we say, hey, follow us on Twitter, and that is @nerdappropriate, and you can email us, and that is Matt, and that is Scott, and that is Ash, and that is Hillary with one L @nerdappropriate.com. And if you go to Facebook and do /nerdappropriate, we'll be there too. And where else are we? I don't even know.
Those are the key places.
Those are the key places. That's where we make our bread and butter, guys.
It is.
You got the Cliff's Notes, yeah.
But thank you guys for tuning in to episode 152 of the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. And we'll be back next week with more stuff.
I think a regular old episode next week, right?
I think Sean Baptiste might come by.
Is he coming
by? Than that, I think he's going to come by for a regular episode, though.
And just he's just going to hang out?
I think he's going to hang out.
It'll be a party.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Ooh.
Wait.
See ya.
All right, guys, I'm going to go make a fort out of all my boxes.
Have fun.
All right, I'm going to eat dinner.